up. This is Caroline with the CWC podcast, where we believe that life without your favorite foods is not worth living. I'm going to be talking a lot about my journey to food freedom, and of course, I will always keep it real by sharing the good, the bad, and of course, the ugly. Welcome back to the CWC podcast. I am testing a couple of things out. Last week's episode, I just did like audio only, because I've talked about how like time consuming it is to do video, but sometimes I really enjoy doing video. And then other times I'm just like, oh, I would just rather just do audio only. So I tried that last week. You guys will have to let me know what you think. If you thoroughly enjoy watching the podcast like this, please let me know. Shoot me a DM and tell me that feedback. Any feedback regarding the podcast is so valuable to me. I want to know what you guys want to hear about. I want to know how you watch it. If you just listen, like, I want to know all of these things. So it just helps me make the podcast better. So anyway, today I will forewarn you, I am going to be going on like a full on feminist rant. And it's not going to be just like a rant. It's going to be I'm really going to be talking from a lot of my own experiences and things that I now see a certain way and I can't unsee them. Like, you know, when you like learn something and you can never go back to the time before you learned that, that's how I feel about feminism now. Like, and I'm just seeing, like, every day I wake up, I see other things more clearly. I see ways I interact with my husband that are odd that I never would have thought of before until now. So I'm going to get right into it. So number one, like, I'm going to go ahead and talk about testosterone. So I have been getting my hormones checked. We've, you know, been tweaking and testing and tweaking and testing for close to 2 years now. And the other day we had the biggest epiphany, and I, for so long now, have just been on the struggle bus with, like, since my breast implant illness. I know I talk about this, I'm probably like beating a dead horse at this point, but I can't stop talking about it because it's my life. Like, this is my life now. I have to make adjustments. In me making adjustments, I feel like I'm able to help you guys as well. I know that I am. So we have my T3 pretty much where it needs to be now, and got my results back last week. And I've been having anxiety through the roof. I've talked about getting off my Vyvanse. That was not an option. Like, I could not get off of that. So I dipped down from 40 milligrams of it to 20, which has helped so much. I've cut my coffee intake in half. That's helped a lot. So my resting heart rate was, which is what I was worried about, has now dropped down to like a normal range. I think it's like getting back down to close to 60. It was like 72 and it was just creeping. And that was alarming to me. So that has made a big difference in that aspect. But my energy was still, I feel like I have been saying this for 5 years now. Like, my energy is something that I cannot get steady. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's just I'm stressed out from everything going on in the world, that that's ultimately what is, like, some days I wake up feeling like crap. But I'm the type of person that will, like, continuously keep trying to find answers so that I can feel the best that I can feel. That's just the way I am. Like, I'm not ever going to just give up. And I know that there's typically an answer for most things that women are struggling with, whether it's low sex drive, no energy, can't build muscle, can't lose weight, having trouble burning fat. Like, any of those things are fixable pretty much through hormone testing. Most of them. And or other things. So my energy was still struggling, and I told my hormone specialist last week on Wednesday when I went, and she took my blood and she was like, what are you currently experiencing? I was like, I'm still just like not consistently energized throughout the day. I feel sluggish. I'm having a really hard time working out. I don't even want to. Like, and so we tested my levels and everything, most everything came back normal, like where it needs to be. Nothing was like glaringly obvious other than my testosterone. I've been having Josh do twice weekly injections of testosterone for a year now. So when she was like, okay, well, what you're currently taking, if I bump you up anymore, you're going to be like at the level of what a man is taking. And I was like, and Josh was like, no way. Like, there's no way you're taking such a small amount. And she was like, what are you taking? Like, now that we're like bouncing back and forth, what are you actually taking? Show me the needle. So I was underdosing by like a lot. And I remember Josh, when he first started like pulling the liquid into the syringe, he was like, this is like a minuscule amount. Like, it's nothing. And I was like, yeah, but that's what they want me at. So I had misread it. And I've been not getting near what I have needed to be getting this entire fucking time on testosterone, which makes so much sense. And my hormone lady, Shannon, was like, this explains so much. She was like, problem solved. We're like going to quadruple your dose. Because I thought you were doing basically double what you actually were doing. And I didn't want to up you that much. She was like, but now that I know you've been barely doing anything, like, we're just going to like, I don't even know what she did, triple it or whatever. I went from like, I can't remember what I was doing. 0.6 of a C. I'm going to fuck this up. 0.6 twice a week. So she thought, no, that's what I was doing, I think. So I was doing one. I don't even know. I'm not going to get into that. I'll fuck it up. I literally have such a problem regurgitating information. And it's like one of the things I get very frustrated with about myself, because I know exactly what I'm trying to say and I just can't fucking say it. So give up. I wasn't doing enough. Now she's tripled me. I've had two doses. So Friday, and he did my shot on Thursday because I got my hormones tested Wednesday, maybe Wednesday night he did it. I don't remember. One of those nights he did my shot and it was like the small amount. So when we found out I needed to be like drastically increasing it, he was like, let's go ahead and do like what she wants you to do now. We'll do it Friday. So he did my shot Friday. And this is just something that I can't explain. I don't know why or how, but like, my readiness has been so low for a very long time. And I just assumed it was like the Vyvanse and all this stuff. And the day after he did my shot, like the normal amount that I should have been taking this whole time, I woke up on Saturday and my readiness was like in the 90s. And I haven't seen the 90s in probably 4 months, like at all. It's been bothering me. And because I mean, I can be obsessive about my health tracker app, my little Aura ring, I guess. But for me, I like knowing this information. I feel like we've made enough advancements in technology that I'm not going to not take advantage of like this information at my fingertips. Like, it's just a little ring I wear. It shows me what my sleep is like. It shows me what my body temperature is. It shows me when I menstruate. And I feel like these are good things to know about yourself so that you can see trends. Like, I will literally be able to tell if I'm starting to get sick, like if my body temperature starts elevating, like if it's not that time of my cycle. So I enjoy having this information. And so it's been interesting seeing what my heart rate has been doing since I started my ADHD meds. And it's also interesting seeing how my HRV has like fucking plummeted. My HRV has plummeted since I started my ADHD meds. And that's your heart rate variability, meaning how well does your heart rate or your heart adapt to stressors? And the lower it is, the worse it is. So like you said, like average 30 to 40, my heart rate variability. And it was like in the 19s and not long ago. So with all that being said, I knew something had to change. So the Armour medication that I was taking that also increases your heart rate, the Armour is for T3, which my thyroid, my T3 was low. Now my T3 is like right where it needs to be. So we cut in half my dose of Armour from 60 milligrams a day to 30. And then we took my Vyvanse from 40 to 20. Just like those two things alone, plus cutting my coffee intake in half, my resting heart rate it's not even been a week. And my resting heart rate is now down in like, I think today it was 62. I have not seen a low 60 number in forever. And it was just like nice to see that. And like my HRV is now slowly starting to go back up. It's not in the teens anymore. Today it was like 27, which for me, that's a big change for what I've been struggling with. And I feel better overall. Like, yes, I can look at all these stats till I'm blue in the face, but I feel so much better. So again, two shots. He did one last night and then Friday. I feel so much better already. And this is what I tell my clients when they're struggling, and whether it's like, I feel so tired every day, I'm lethargic, I don't want to do anything, I don't even have the energy to do my dishes, I don't want to have sex with my husband, I'm so just blah, like I can't lose weight. I'm like, I'm not right all the time, but I'm 9 times out of 10 when it comes to this, I've just seen it enough. I know, like I literally can immediately knee jerk and be like, it's your testosterone or something else related to your hormones. And 10 times out of 10, I'm right. Like I will send them to a hormone specialist or whoever, and they'll get on. The good thing is like you get on something if you're low, and it's such a quick fix. Like it's such a fast turnaround. It's not like something you have to take for a year before it kicks in. Like you start taking testosterone as a woman, like you're going to feel that shit within a week, and it's fucking awesome. So, I mean, I would even attribute my testosterone increase to like me wanting to film a podcast today. Last week, I was just so down in the dumps and I was like, I don't want to fucking film a podcast. I don't care. I don't even want to. I think I told Dana, I don't want to do the podcast anymore. Like I was just in a mood last week. And again, like low testosterone can also affect your mental health and the way that you're thinking, and depressive episodes, if you didn't know that. So I don't know. I just feel like it, now that I'm like seeing all this stuff. So now I'm taking the proper dose and I already feel better. So, and my readiness is doing great. My heart rate is getting to where I want it to be again. My resting, things are good. So moving on from that, I wanted to give you guys that update. Testosterone, before I get into my client story, testosterone ranges for women. A good range that's ideal for most women is 150 to 300. This is information straight from my hormone specialist. Doctors don't learn about hormone function in medical school, and that's just a fact. OBs don't learn about hormone function in medical school. Unless you're an endocrinologist, you are not learning about hormones, hormone imbalances, hormone functions, proper ranges for women and men, for that matter, to be in when it comes to all of your sex hormones, and then, you know, beyond that, thyroid hormones, all of that stuff, which to me is very confusing. And I feel like I see it from like the 30,000 foot view now of like why people feel the way they feel. And again, I can call it out within a matter of minutes. If someone comes to me and they say, these are the symptoms that I'm experiencing, I don't know what's wrong, but I've had a bunch of tests done and there's nothing conclusive. And this is only just because I've been through this with the breast implant illness. I've been told multiple times by specialists that there wasn't anything they could see that was wrong that would cause me to feel the way I was feeling. But I was still feeling bad, and I knew that something was wrong inherently. Like it was like an inner knowing. I know my body. I'm not a fucking idiot. Like I know when I feel like shit. I know when I'm having suicidal thoughts. I know that that's not normal. Like, so I'm not going to accept, I don't see anything on this test, or no, I don't see anything like with my eyes wrong with you. And it took me pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and finally just realizing that that was the issue. And, you know, it's the same thing with hormonal imbalances. So many things that women and men are struggling with are related to a hormonal imbalance. So many. And we, as you know, back to what I was saying, doctors don't learn about hormonal imbalances or even like what a proper range is supposed to be in medical school. So how the hell are they supposed to know when you come to them and you say, I'm depressed, and they put you on an antidepressant? When in all reality, giving you like testosterone, which is much more natural to your body and has way less side effects than an antidepressant, could fix a lot of your issues, not just one. And that's where I feel like we've totally like fucked up. I mean, we've fucked up in a lot of ways in terms of like our medical system, especially with women. Like the medical system continues to fail us every single day. And I don't want to generalize here. I don't want to come off like this is towards everyone who works in healthcare, because I have so many clients who are nurses. I have clients who are doctors. I have clients who are therapists. Like, and they are some of the most wonderful people ever. And we're all consistently looking for answers and looking to learn more. And like, why is this the way that it is? Why aren't we looking at things from a whole perspective? Like very similarly to the way we coach. I don't hand people meal plans and workouts. We go way further into this. Like I really won't even like work with someone if I know that they're needing like a licensed therapist at that time. Like I will refer them out first and then they can come work with me. Because if you come to work with me on body stuff and like even some light mental health stuff, but you have a disorder that needs to be addressed first, it is going to do no fucking good coming to me first. You're literally putting a Band-Aid on a gushing open wound. You need to go fix the root problem first, then come to me. I even have clients who will simultaneously have a therapist and work with me. And that seems to be like the best fit because they have, you know, I'm not a licensed therapist. I can help you, you know, quite a bit based on just my own experience of being a fucking Looney Tune, like having like ADHD and OCD. And like, I know I have autism. I know I'm on the spectrum 100%. Like I have all these things that help give me the ability to relate and help other people, women, men, whatever. But I don't have all those tools like, you know, the cognitive behavioral therapist or the ACT therapist, or that's not my wheelhouse. And I know that. And I very much believe that it kind of takes a village to help someone get their health back in order if they're having problems. So So I had this client that I was working with, and she had, you know, was having problems losing weight. She wasn't really feeling great. She was just having a lot of things that weren't good, you know, normal, I would say, like for her age, especially. And we worked together for a very long time. And she sent me an audio last night, and it was like an 8-minute one. I was like, okay, this is going to be a good update. I haven't talked to her in forever. Like what's going on? Essentially, she found out that she has Hashimoto's. And it took her going to like all of these different people to get that diagnosis, because she was with one doctor who was just basically addressing like the only two or three symptoms that they were able to work with or try to figure out what was going on. That was like, they were only focusing on these and they were trying to treat those, but they weren't paying attention to all of these other symptoms that came along with it that she was having. And she finally, you know, she was having heart palpitations. She was having a really hard time losing weight. She was getting exhausted frequently. And I told her, I'm very happy that you have this. I'm not happy that you got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, but like, we have an answer now. Like you have a concrete answer. Now you know what, like now we can move forward and work with that. You know what you have to work with now. So this is good news. It's not good news, but it is good news that you know and have an answer. During this whole thing, she was going to her OB and they did a biopsy, a uterine biopsy. And she literally started crying in the middle of her audio to me because she was like, I know you understand this because I've seen you make videos and TikToks about it, but like that was the worst pain I've ever felt. And she was like, you know, my OB was like, I know how bad this hurts. I've had it done. Just keep your legs open a little bit longer. I know. And it's like, if you know how bad the pain is, why are we not being administered at the very goddamn minimum a fucking value? Why? I want an answer. I'm fucking done. This shit is unacceptable. And I'm going to go off on that here in just a minute about like the procedures that women are expected to endure with like literally no pain medication when if a man had to do a colposcopy, he would literally be put out to have it done. And I'm not even lying. Like if we were going to take a chunk out of a man's penis from the inside, you bet your ass they would be given a heaping pile of fucking pain meds to deal with that. And that's just the truth. I don't want anyone coming at me and arguing with me. That's the fucking truth. And it's bullshit. And women are fucking done. Like we're done enduring all of this pain. Now that we're questioning, well, why don't we get pain meds for stuff like that? Like that procedure really fucking hurts. Hurts worse than childbirth. If we can sit here and say that a procedure hurts worse than childbirth, there's something wrong and you need to be giving us something to deal with the pain and not just being like, well, you're a woman, you can handle it. Get the fuck out of here. So, God, I get so riled up talking about this. Anyway, I want to get into that now. So like, she was so like elated that she now has an answer and we were working together on like, I was like, all right, well now you can't really do like, I would steer clear of HIIT workouts. Like wouldn't do that. Like I would really focus on low impact type of workouts. And like, as far as food, like do not be in a calorie deficit and you'll need to eat more because you have this autoimmune disorder. And I explained why, and I'm going to explain that why as well. I'm like squirrel today. I want to talk about all of it all at once. Okay. So I'm going to continue on now about women, and I'm going to finish up with the autoimmune stuff because I know I work with so many women who have an autoimmune disorder. And I know a lot of people who are going to watch this or listen to this have one as well. So I'm going to give you a lot of advice. I'm going to wrap that up at the very end. So I, back onto the pain, lack of pain medication and just lack of just general fucking sympathy that women feel when it comes to medical procedures or really anything like that. This is what I can get fired up the most about. And I will start back when I was 17 and I had my colposcopy. And I had no idea. I was a child. I had no idea at the time. I just went in for my pap smear. She saw some abnormal things on my pap. She said, we need to do a colposcopy to biopsy to make sure that they're not cancerous. Da, 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 da. I'm like, okay. I had no idea what I was in for. And I went in literally like not having a clue what was about to happen. And she came in with her assistant and said, I don't remember how she led, but it was something like, you know, it's going to feel, you'll feel a bit of a pinch. Like I'll never forget. That's what they say to describe the pain. And it's not accurate at all. First off, it's not accurate. And she was like, I need you to just remain relaxed. And when she started talking like that, I started sweating because I was like, is this going to hurt really bad? Like you said a pinch, but now you're telling me to like, make sure I stay still and breathe. Like I'm getting alarmed. And at that point I became very nervous. So I laid back. She's like, okay, I'm putting the speculum in. You're going to feel a little bit of pressure. And they also, by the way, before they like slice out a piece of our insides using a tool that literally looks from like the medieval times, they scrape it too. I forgot about the scrape. So they have this like device that they use to scrape the inside of our cervix. And it literally looks like a mini rake. So she scraped me and it hurt really bad. It nothing like the actual snip, whatever, but it hurt. And then she was like, okay, now here, this is going to feel like a pinch, like sit still, keep your legs open. And when she did it, I tell you, like the blood rushed to my face. I got hot. My eyes immediately well. You know, when you pop a zit on your nose and your eyes just start welling with water. And that is what happened. Like my eyes immediately welled up with water. I was like, I don't even think I was breathing. Like I was like trying to catch my breath. And to this day, it makes me cringe. Thinking about that pain to this day makes me cringe. I couldn't tell. I mean, I remember childbirth vaguely, my birth with Bryn was so traumatic that I think I legitimately, my brain has blocked parts of it out from my memory. In fact, I know that it has. So I couldn't even, like, I remember having a really weird, terrible pain during my labor with her, but I couldn't describe it if I tried. I could describe this pain in detail, like I just did, and feel it like it was yesterday. And so that's not even the end of it. So we finish. I was crying and embarrassed that I was crying. How fucking ridiculous that I was embarrassed for crying. And I felt violated, and I felt like I was lied to. I was like, that was not a pinch. And I thought she did something wrong. I was like, that was really painful. Like, surely, why'd you tell me it was gonna feel like a pinch? That was not a pinch. And so, you guys, I didn't even know what the procedure actually entailed of until literally like a year ago. So in my head, I'm just, they go, this colposcopy, they're taking up whatever. I didn't know what they were actually doing. No one explains it to you. And so I didn't know at the time that they actually are slicing out a piece of your insides, and that's why it hurts so bad. So I sat up, I was bleeding, and she was like, I was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. She was like, that's normal. You should expect some bleeding and cramping for a few days. And I was like, what? What the fuck just happened? Like, that cannot be normal. That was my like inner, something is not right about this. So I got up. I could not wait to leave. I got dressed. I didn't have any pads or anything with me. So I was bleeding in my clothes. I went and got in my car, sat down, called my sister, and was like, I'm never doing that again. And she was like, welcome to the club. My sister had had multiple colposcopies. And Emily was like, worst pain in the world, isn't it? And she was like, think of how I feel. Like, I have to have more of them. And I was like, I wouldn't do it. Like, I will never have that. I'll never do that procedure again. And for a woman to say that they would legitimately risk having cervical cancer because they don't want to have a procedure that hurts that bad, that they're given no pain medication for, like, that's a problem. Like, and I'm not even joking. I have not had a colposcopy since that day. I don't think I've had an abnormal pap. I've been lucky. But if I were to go have a pap smear today and it came back with abnormal cells, I would not do the colposcopy without demanding not only pain medication. I believe we should actually be anesthetized for it. Like, it's a procedure that I truly believe we need to be anesthetized for. At the very least, we should be given a Valium. At the very least, that's like bare minimum. And we're offered nothing. And we're just, women are literally just expected to fucking deal with shit and do shit. And I'm so tired of it. Like, there is a reason that there's a joke, a running joke, and like a saying that everybody throughout history knows. And that saying is, man, I would much rather, like, I'd rather be sick myself than have my husband be sick. Because, you know, when men get a cold, it's like they have the fucking flu. And that's the truth. Maybe not all of them, but most of them, when they get the cold, they get a cold, they act like they have the full blown flu. But when women get the flu, we just keep sweeping and mopping and doing laundry and working and dishes and this and that and taking care of the kids and taking care of that. Like, we don't stop. And it's because we've been conditioned to deal with so much pain that we are just used to like pushing through the pain. We don't get that help. And again, I'm going to circle back around and say it one more time so that everybody gets this point. If a man were expected to undergo a procedure like the colposcopy, where they use a metal tool to go up into the middle of their penis or whatever and slice out a piece of the inside of their penis, they would be anesthetized for that. They would demand it. They would have pain medication sent home with them. They would have Valium beforehand to calm them down. The fact that women are just expected to do it with literally nothing, just because we're women, we can push through the pain and be strong or whatever. Like, we're tired of being strong. If we could have something to make the process easier and these procedures a little bit more manageable and like not so fucking traumatic, I think that we should ask for that and demand it. And I've talked to a couple of OBs about this, who are actually speaking out about it as well. And they have said, like, you are within your right to demand some form of either medication prior to that procedure or pain meds during, after, whatever. Like, you can ask for that. And you bet your ass I will be demanding that type of pain medication or help along the way if I ever have to do another procedure like that, because I won't do it with nothing ever again. And it's really sad that we have to, that we're kind of like in this position of having to do, advocate for ourselves in kind of a silly manner. Like, when you think about it, like, we're not asking for much. At least I don't think we are. But I just got on such a fucking rant this morning with my client when we were talking about this. And she was like, thank you so much. I came across your TikTok when you were talking about the colposcopy. And she was like, I just had a biopsy and it was literally the worst pain I've ever felt. And like, you know, I've heard IUD. I've actually had an IUD. My IUD insertion, when she put it in, was painful. It wasn't anything like the colposcopy though. When she took it out, it was very painful. When I had it in, the whole time I had it in, it was painful. Like, every time we would have sex, I could feel it hitting the IUD and it was scraping my insides. Like, so I ended up taking it out. So the IUD putting in and taking out, that was very painful as well. And I've had a lot of girls in my comments on my TikTok video saying the same thing. Like, and it's like, you have to sit back. And this, again, I don't want to, cause my client was like, I love my OB. Like, I don't think she was doing any of this maliciously. It was like, I think this is a bigger problem. Like, it absolutely is a systemic problem. Like, this has been going on for years and now it's still happening. But what's going on now is like, women are speaking up and they're sharing their stories and talking about it. And it's kind of, we're at this point where we're all scratching our heads going, but why, when my husband went and got his vasectomy, he like, it's like they get treated like they're going to like a 4-star fucking hotel resort and they get all of this pain management to help them through this procedure that is, I don't have a penis, but like, I could imagine that a vasectomy is like not as painful as a colposcopy, but I don't know. I don't know. But I know that they're given a lot of stuff to manage the pain and we're given nothing. So I think we're at that point now where we're recognizing that this is a problem. This is a problem with our medical system, among others. And, you know, when you go in and have a symptom or something that you're struggling with and you tell your doctor, like, this is what I'm struggling with, I feel, you know, depressed. Like, a lot of them, not all of them, a lot of them will say, okay, well, this person is having depressive episodes. They need to be on an antidepressant. They don't look at anything else. So like, if this person is also experiencing other symptoms, like, it could be part of a bigger issue, right? And I talk to women daily in my Instagram DMs who have gone to specialists and doctors and they feel like shit and they have a myriad of symptoms and no one physician or doctor can figure it out. And they know something's wrong with their body. So they come to me because they've seen me talking about breast implant illness, or they've seen me talking about other stuff related to women's health, whether it's the UTIs or anything. And they say, I'm confused. This is what I'm experiencing. I first ask, what are all of your symptoms? A lot of the times it is related to hormones. It's a hormonal imbalance. Whether it is your cortisol is through the roof, which can cause all sorts of fucking problems. Whether a lot of women are low on DHEA, a lot, like most women should be taking DHEA. They aren't. Vitamin D is a huge one. And that's one that you can catch on a CBC. Like low levels of vitamin D and like B and magnesium can cause so many different things, from anxiety to fatigue, like really bad fatigue. If you're low on vitamin D and B, like, you will experience insane fatigue. And then that can also start affecting your mental health. So even just starting with like a basic CBC test and looking at like your vitamins and all of that stuff and making sure your white blood cells are where they need to be. But beyond that, depending on the amount of symptoms, a complex hormone panel done by someone who is a hormone specialist, I have to put that in there, is gonna help you. If you test and everything's wonderful and all of your shit is within range, then you know that and you can move on to the next thing. But I've yet to see that happen. There's always, even with me, I've been doing this for 2 years and I just found out my testosterone was taking it wrong. Like, it was low. So it can be the littlest tiny thing, but it's like a puzzle. Once you start putting those pieces together, you're going to start feeling better. And the more pieces that you put in that puzzle, the better you're going to feel and start recognizing that, like, oh, wow, I shouldn't feel like shit just because I'm 40. I'll never forget. I made a post that I was going to have my breast implants removed. I didn't know yet if I had breast implant illness, but I was pretty certain, but I wasn't really outspoken about it yet. I just said, I'm getting an explant. And in the, there was tons of comments of like, I've been thinking about this too. Oh my gosh, maybe I should do it. What's going on? What symptoms? And then it started the conversation. So then I'm like in the comments describing all my symptoms. And I had a doctor who I know very well. She was my doctor for a very long time. Literally tell me that it was probably me aging. And this was when I was 36. And I was like, if I feel my mom is in better, my mom is not in great health. And my mom right now is in better health than me. So if you're telling me that I'm going to feel like this at 36, why would I want to live beyond 50? I feel like shit every day. I don't accept that this is just aging. And I knew deep down that it wasn't. It was like an inner body soul knowing that something was wrong. I just didn't know what it was. And I can't tell you how vindicated I felt just even for myself when I explanted and like most of my symptoms disappeared overnight. Overnight. And what I'll never forget, sitting at the urologist 5 days before my explant surgery, I had been to this urologist, I don't know, fucking weekly for like a year because I was having chronic UTIs and I could not empty my bladder to save my life. Could not empty my bladder. I would literally not even drink water and I would be at my office with my coaches. And like, I remember Mary one day was like, I kept going to the bathroom and I went one time like with, and Mary had to go too. And so we were both in the bathroom and like, I could hear her peeing and I was like, that's how I should be peeing. Like, not to be gross, but like, I don't pee like that. Like, my pee would like dribble out, but I felt like I had to go all the time. But like, I would go and nothing would come out. And I wasn't even drinking water. Like, I wasn't even drinking enough water for like me to have to constantly go. So it was called, you know, I got diagnosed with overactive bladder, which a lot of women who have breast implant illness have overactive bladder, come to find out. I've talked to hundreds of them. They all have the same symptom. Not all of them, but most of them. And so I remember sitting there and he wanted to put me on Flomax, which is something that helps you like not pee all day long. Cause he was like, how often do you go? And I was like 30 to 40 times a day. He's like, that's like entirely too much. I'm like, no fucking shit. Why do you think I'm here? And he didn't know why. He didn't know why I had overactive bladder. I'm like, well, there's a reason, right? Like, there is a reason why. Like, why do I all of a sudden have overactive bladder when I never had this in my whole life? Why now? Something has to be causing it. Is it something I'm eating? Is it something I'm doing? And he didn't know. He wanted to put me on Flomax. No hate to this urologist either. And I'm not going to name anyone names. I actually really liked him, but he didn't know. And his only solution for what he had been taught was to like put me on Flomax. Well, she's peeing 30 times a day. Can't have that. Like, this will help you stop peeing. I didn't want to be put on a medication for that. So I said, hey, I'm getting, and I was so desperate. I remember looking into his eyes and just like desperately wanting a really honest answer. And I asked him, I said, please be truthful with me. I know you're a doctor. I know you're a medical professional. I know that a lot of people don't believe in breast implant illness. I was like, I'm getting my breast implants taken out in a week. Do you think that this could be related to that? Because I had already talked to women who had already like also told me that they had overactive bladder. So in my head, I was secretly hoping it was related to the breast implants. And he was like, he basically said, I don't know, which I was fine. I was like, okay, I really wasn't. If he didn't know, he didn't know. And he was like, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not saying it couldn't. I was like, okay, fair enough. So I explanted, and the overactive bladder was something that like overnight, like after my surgery, I have not experienced it again. Not one time. I don't pee 30 times a day anymore. I don't feel like I have to pee all day. I can chug a gallon of water and pee like a normal human. My flow is different. Like I couldn't empty my bladder. Like I would pee and like I could feel urine sitting in my bladder. Like I knew that I didn't fully empty it and I couldn't figure out why for like 2 years. And I don't have that anymore. And it was literally one of the symptoms that went away immediately after my surgery. Like I woke up and I'll never forget. I got up to walk to the bathroom and I sat down and I was like, oh my God, it's gone. It was just gone. It was so weird. And not all of my symptoms were like that. I would say probably 5 or 6 went away like immediately. I could breathe immediately deeper. As soon as I woke up from surgery, I was like, holy shit. I just took like a full deep breath. I had not been able to do that in forever, ever. And so that was another one. But like a lot of them took time. There was about 10 or 12 that took close to a year to fully, fully go away and like where I wasn't having like flare ups. So I need to take a drink of water. I'm talking too much. I always back away because I don't want you guys to hear me gulping because I'm very weird about people gulping their water and like smacking their food. So back to what I was talking about. You know, I got a little sidetracked with the breast implant illness, but like this is all related. And the breast implant illness really fucked with my hormones. And then when I explanted, you know, a major surgery can fuck with your hormones. So that took me a very long time after my surgery to get everything in balance. And like I said, I've pretty much been working on getting them balanced since my surgery. It's been a very long road. But I can sit here today talking to you guys and say with 100%, no shadow of a doubt, that I went from literally every single day feeling like I was dying. I felt like my body was shutting down. That's what it felt like. And no one believed me because there wasn't concrete evidence. I would get tests and tests and tests done and nothing was conclusive. So I get that other people, it's probably very hard for people to be like, is she making it up? Like nothing is coming back. So like at the end of the day, is it in your head? You know what I mean? So then you start to question yourself. You start to really think that you're the one who's like, maybe I am a hypochondriac. Am I really imagining this? Is this for, if all these tests are coming back saying I'm perfectly healthy, then why am I having these symptoms? Maybe I'm fantasizing them. Maybe they're being made up. Like, I don't know. Like you start to really think you're fucking crazy. And the mental thoughts that I had during like the worst part of my breast implant illness, like that was the scariest time of my life because I literally felt like I was waking up every day and living in a prison of my own mind. And I didn't know how to escape it. And like normal Caroline, like I would say sitting here today, post-surgery, don't have the breast implants. I have intrusive thoughts all day long. Everybody does. I have OCD. So when people who have OCD have intrusive thoughts, we attach to those and then they become our reality and we can't escape them. And it's like a literal living hell in your brain every day. Normal people who have intrusive thoughts, like we'll even say Josh, which he probably doesn't. He may have a random intrusive thought and he'll be like, oh, that's a thought. Like, and he will literally push it away. People with OCD do not have the ability to do that. Or I guess they do, but it's hard. Like it's almost, sometimes it feels impossible depending on where you're at emotionally and physically. So when I was already struggling, my body was already down with the breast implant illness. And I start having these crazy mental thoughts that normally I would be like, I would shove it away. Like that's crazy. I started attaching to them and I would be like, why am I thinking this? This means it's going to happen. This is real. I'm manifesting it. Oh my God, stop thinking about it. You're manifesting it. Stop thinking about it. But the more I would try to stop thinking about it, the more I was thinking these thoughts. And the more I was thinking them, the more I believed that if I was thinking them, they would happen. So like I literally started living in my own version of hell because the thoughts I were having were thoughts of losing my child, thoughts of something happening to Josh. And it was never me. It was always like something happening to the people I love. And it was, I could not escape it. And even to this day, it's hard to explain the feeling that I walked around with for years of dread, like existential dread that something around the corner is going to happen. So that manifested in real life as me sitting here and staring out the fucking window like a psychopath. If Bryn wanted to go rollerblade, literally on our driveway where we have our entire 50 acres is fenced in. We have a gate at the front. I would stare out the window and just watch her like this, like a psycho. If I didn't know where she was for like more than 5 minutes, I would be like, where's Bryn? There's still sometimes I do this. It's nothing like it used to be. And that was the hardest time of my entire life. Like having a feeling that you think is gonna for real happen and you can't do anything to stop it. You just have to like wait and like wait. And then all the while you're waiting, you're stressed out worrying that this thing is gonna happen, but you don't know when it's gonna happen. And it's exhausting to say the least, but I'm not experiencing that anymore. That's not my reality anymore. And I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would be able to like exit that mentality. So for any of you who, maybe you know you have breast implant illness, start logging your symptoms. Get consultations scheduled, ask questions, ask me, get them out. Like I have so many, first of all, this should be covered by insurance. It's not, I'm not even going to go into that. But I was so desperate. I knew that was what was wrong. Once I really like, I knew it and I was like, this is it. This is not going to cure all of everything, but I have a feeling this is all related. After talking to so many women who list off 19 identical symptoms that you have, I'm sorry, that's too coincidental. That's not just coincidental. That's too much evidence to ignore. So I knew in my heart that's what was wrong. And so I just put it on my credit card. I was like, I don't fucking care. I'm getting the surgery ASAP. I was on that cancellation list. As soon as they had a cancellation, I was in. I didn't even care what day it was. Like, you call me, I'm in. Just put me on the schedule. And that's what we did. She called me and was like, we had a cancellation 2 weeks. I'm like, great. See you then. And just one of the many ways that the medical system has completely failed most people, but specifically women. Women are not really heard a lot of the time, which is ironic to me because we are expected to endure so much more pain than men do, but we're not taken seriously when we like express our pain or say this hurts or this doesn't feel right, or I think I'm crazy, or I think I'm this. Like, we're just, I don't feel like we're taken seriously a lot of the time, which is like frustrating in and of itself. And then we're just like sent back home to go deal with our shit. And this is why I'm so passionate about spreading awareness with just people understanding, like people local can contact me and I can give them Shannon's information. And if that's who they want to use, they can go directly to Shannon. But I understand that with my platform and now TikTok, like I have messages every day from people all over the world who are like, well, what do I do? Where do I go? I don't live in Oklahoma. So Shannon has given me a link that I provide people. And I've put it up in past episodes. I'll put it here again today. But basically, it's a link to locate a person who specializes in hormones in your area. So I will put that link here. And I'll also put Shannon's link again. That way, if anyone is like, if any alarm bells are going off in your head and you want to get your hormones checked, like you'll have that information to go see Shannon. I just can't stress enough, you guys, that like you're not meant to feel like dog shit every day. You're not meant to feel exhausted every day. You're not meant to not have a sex drive. I literally thought that like, oh, if you're married for this long, you just don't want to have sex. That is so not accurate. And I can't tell you, I've been married for 20 or well, we've been married this year for 17 years, but like I've been together with Josh for 23 years. And I just assumed, and again, this is part of the patriarchy, like making us believe all of this stupid fucking shit. But like when I would say like in my 20s, when I was going through a lot of severe depression, I like literally was like, I just don't want sex. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's not on my agenda. Like, leave me alone. Don't touch me. And I went through a period like this for a very long time. And I'm certain that it was due to a hormonal imbalance because I was very, very depressed. And I was just put on antidepressants. And I started taking antidepressants and literally became a robot. And I would wake up every day and drive to Taco Bell and shove my face full of food because that was the only way I knew how to cope. I did not learn coping skills as a child. So when I grew up, it was like, oh, food and alcohol, great. And so I gained a bunch of weight, which then made me feel like shit about myself. And then I tried to get the weight off and then I started bad dieting and then I started like doing really drastic, dangerous methods to lose weight. And then I got breast implants when I was 23 or 24, got breast implants. I wanted to fulfill this physicality that I thought I needed to have for people to like me or me to be pretty or me to be sexy. And it's so interesting looking back on all of that. I wouldn't change anything. I very much am just like, all of these things led me to where I am today, sitting right here, which is more sure of myself than I've ever been in my life. I still have days where I'm not, but for the most part, like I don't, it's crazy to look back at little Caroline and just see the boob job and like the white hair and like always being so obsessed with what my body looked like. And like, that was number one all the time. What did I look like? What was I wearing? Was it tight enough? Like, and we do these things as women to fit into a mold of what we think is going to be acceptable by either society or our peers or people who see us on social media or our husbands or our friends. We are in competition with our friends to look a certain way. I've been there, and we're never good enough. Like, you're never good enough. I can't tell you when I was spending all of my energy that I had in my body, on my body, back in 2000, from 2014 to 2018. There was a 4-year span where I meal prepped twice a week. I worked out six to seven days a week, every week. There were no breaks. Year round, I walked around with 6-pack abs, but I was doing all of these things to ensure that my body looked a certain way and stayed a certain way. That I could not lose that. Because I had gone through a period of trying out, you know, antidepressants, I'm depressed, I'm turning to food. Then it turned to alcohol. And when it turned to alcohol, it got really bad. That's when like I basically got an ultimatum from my husband and my sister, like, you need to do something or we're gonna fucking intervene. Like, this is bad. And again, I'm going to intersect this right here because it just popped in my brain. After I had Bryn, not to mention the most traumatic, probably the most traumatic experience I would say of my life physically I've ever had was giving birth to her. It was very traumatic. I've talked about the story in detail on other episodes, so I'm not going to go into it here. It's going to take too long. It was very traumatic. So traumatic that my brain literally told me like a different story of what happened. And to this day, what I remember is nothing what happened actually. So that alone is traumatic, right? That can kick off like a hormonal imbalance. It can kick off all kinds of shit. So then I had postpartum depression and did not know it. Because when we're women and we birth a human out of our vagina or our stomach, whether like however they get them out, we are given nothing. And I didn't even think about this till I started talking about the colposcopy stuff. And everybody was like, why don't we talk about labor and delivery and how fucking ridiculous that whole thing is? We are given nothing. Like, you're given pain medication if you have a C-section, but we are sent home with nothing. They wait until you can take a shit and they kick you out of the hospital. That's what happens. And that's reality. They literally, there is no aftercare. There is no follow-up. There isn't, hey, if you're bleeding from your stitches, come see. Like, there's just, there was nothing. Both times I had a vaginal birth and I had a C-section, very traumatic birth. You are literally kicked out of there as fast as they can get you out. Like I said, the first like moment you have a bowel movement, they are like, time to discharge. So not only are they not like addressing anything about what you just went through, your whole body just went through like physically, the lack of advice on what could potentially go through your mind is mind-boggling to me. That like, it's just not talked about. The only time we talk about it is with each other like this. And so I did not even know that I had postpartum depression. That's how bad it was. Like, I didn't even know that it could be that. No one told me. I had heard that postpartum depression meant that you want to hurt your baby or yourself. So like, those were the only things in my head. And I was like, well, I don't want to hurt my baby or myself, but like, I don't know that I want to live this life anymore. I don't know that I want this. I'm very confused. I started drinking heavily. I was going out and partying. Looking back now, it's very clear. At the time, I was just going through it. And I didn't know. I remember telling one of my closest friends at the time, I literally remember sitting on my fireplace hearth. I was on the floor and she was on my couch. And I was like, I just don't know. Like I don't feel good mentally. Like something is wrong and I don't know what it is. And she didn't know. She at that time, like she didn't have kids, and not saying that, like, she just didn't know. And I didn't either. And my sister, who knows most of everything, she didn't even know that that's what was happening. We didn't find out till a couple of years later. And my sister literally was like, I bet you had postpartum depression. Like, now that I'm thinking about it. And I was, again, turning to alcohol just to even make it through my day. I was going crazy being a stay-at-home mom with two kids that were little and like driving me nuts all day. And like, I couldn't keep my house clean. And I was just spiraling. Daily, I was spiraling. So I would literally wake up and look forward to 11 a.m. or noon, when I would just start cracking my fucking wine bottle and drinking a bottle of wine every day and getting drunk as fuck. And that was my escape. It was the only way I knew how to escape. And I remember when you go through postpartum, obviously now looking back, I know that that's what it was. You are kind of in this cycle of like, you know, something's wrong, but you don't know what it is. Because I don't feel like women could be like, I have postpartum depression. That's why I feel like this. Problem solved. It doesn't work like that. You feel so out of whack and dysregulated that you just want to like almost some days be alone. You don't want anyone touching. Well, this is what I went through. I don't want anyone touching me. I don't want anyone needing anything from me. I don't want to clean house all day just to have it look like I didn't do anything all day because my kids are following me around, making messes after I'm cleaning them up. And like, I'm spiraling. So you go through all of that. And then you get down here where you start saying, why am I complaining about this? I'm a stay-at-home mom. My kids are healthy. They're not sick. They don't have like a disease. Why am I bitching about this? Why am I ungrateful about this scenario? I should be so grateful. Then we start shooting ourselves. I should be so grateful for this, but I'm not. Why are you not grateful for this? Then you start really fucking guilting and like laying it on thick on yourself. That's what happened with me. And it was such a negative cycle I was in for so long. And it was so difficult. And now looking back, I can see it crystal clear. But at the time, I just felt so foggy and confused and angry and sad all at the same time. Just like, I can't even put it into words. I remember just being like, is this what life is like? And then I would be like, why do you think like that? That is a really terrible way to think. Like, there's people who would give anything to like, you know, birth a healthy baby and then get to stay home with that baby. What the fuck is wrong with you? That doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good to berate yourself about the way that you're feeling. The way I was feeling was natural because I was suffering from postpartum depression. I didn't know that. No one fucking told me. No one helps you. No one's holding your hand. Nothing. Like, they literally just send you home and hope for the best. Have a great time. If you start going crazy, like, good luck. There's just no support. There's nothing. You feel like you are on a life raft in the middle of the ocean and no one is there to help you, and you have a fucking anchor tied to your ankle. That's what it felt like. Felt like no one understood and no one cared. And that wasn't the truth. I had people around me who cared. But once I started my transformation, back to what I was saying, got a little sidetracked on the PPD. When I started my transformation, I spent 4 years of my life just, I need my body to be perfect. If my body doesn't look a certain way, nothing else matters. And I spent every waking moment food prepping and going to the gym. And then, you know, I did the competition. I spent posing and just like got so intertwined into looking a certain way. For what? Because during that time, yes, there was a period where I don't want to call it healthy. It really wasn't healthy. It was better than my other option. It was the road that I began taking was very extreme, but it was better than the road that I was going down. So it was like, I guess we'll just go down this road. Even though like I've completely bypassed the middle section of balance, we're just going to go all the way over here and then be super fucking healthy and super fucking strict and restrictive. And as long as my body looks a certain way, I'll just remain happy. So then everything became contingent on like how my body looked and how, you know, I only felt as good about myself as my body looked. So there was no option for cheating. There was no option for missing a meal with protein. There was no option for missing a workout. It was not in the cards. I would not allow it. And that does not do anything for you. And I am talking right now to women who are, and I've seen hundreds of comments on this TikTok video I did, stitching basically the girl that was like, how do all these women have abs? And one of the girls was like, steroids. And then I stitched it and talked about my experience with Anavar. The video has now gone viral on TikTok and there are thousands of comments. I have read hundreds of comments, and I haven't even read them all, of women who I can literally, without even knowing them, looking at their profile picture, tell you that they have something going on, whether it's a hormonal imbalance or an autoimmune disorder, by the way they comment. They'll say, should I try this? Should I try it? I'm like, I've never once said, try this. I'm telling you my experience and why not to do it. But they're so desperate to look a certain way that they will literally tell me in the comments all the stuff they're doing. Like, I'm working out 5 days a week. I'm strength training. I'm doing all this cardio. I'm eating in a calorie deficit. Why am I not losing weight? And I will message them, or I'll say, message me on here. Have you had your hormones checked? Do you have an autoimmune disorder? Those are my two questions. 9 times out of 10, they have one or the other or both. So here's what happens. This is going to bring me into my last topic of autoimmune. If you are doing all the things right, you're eating right, you're going to the gym, you've done it consistently for a period of time, and you're seeing nothing change, that is not your answer to try steroids or drugs. That is your sign to get your hormones checked, or to, once you get your hormones checked, you could very well be struggling or from an autoimmune disorder. I'm not saying everybody is, but I see this a lot. And this is just like my client, and I'm going to bring it on home with her story. So immediately some of these women will respond and they'll DM me and be like, hey, I haven't had my hormones checked. Should I do that? I'm like, that's stop number one. I would highly recommend starting there. If they were to just start taking Anavar or steroids to help the process, it's not going to help the process. If you have a hormonal imbalance, taking Anavar is going to make it worse. Taking Anavar alters your hormone function. That's what it does. So it's not going to make you lose weight faster. So while women are stuck in this, I have to get this body, I'm doing everything right, why isn't it working? Why am I not losing weight? Guess I should add something else to expedite that process. It's actually not going to expedite that process. It's going to make it probably worse, especially if you have an autoimmune disorder. So you step back. Like, here's where I'm at, right? Stop thinking that your body needs to look a certain way. Stop thinking that you have to have a certain body. Like, and this is where they get stuck. I've been there. All you see is body. I remember just being like, I just want my body to look a certain way. But you're so stuck on like what your body looks like. Why? Why do you care? Ask yourself that question. Number one, why do you want your body to look a certain way? Don't stop at that answer. If you say, well, I really want to look great in a bikini this year. Wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Why? Why do you want to look great in a bikini? Why are you asking me that? Well, because why is this so important to you? Genuinely asking. Well, because I feel like if I look good in a bikini, like I will look sexier to my husband and maybe he'll want to have sex with me more. I don't know. I'm like paraphrasing and making things up as I go, making up answers because I'm asking like a hypothetical person. But so you just ask, it's like an onion. You ask, you answer a question to yourself and then you ask why again. Okay. Why do you want your husband to look at you a certain way? Well, because he hasn't really lately. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes, you know, we go through spurts where we don't really have sex a lot. And I just want him to feel like I want to feel like he desires me, which is a very normal feeling as a wife. Okay. But do you feel like he does not desire you now? Yes. Do you feel like other people look at you a certain way and don't think of you a certain way because of your body and the way it looks? Yes. Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. You're really getting to like the core of like why you want this. Because anybody can say they want to look good naked. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. I'm saying women, because of society, are so laser focused on losing fucking weight and being thin and strong and fit and toned or whatever, having a big fucking ass, that they only see women achieving with plastic surgery and they think they're going to get it through working out. No. But we are only focused on our bodies. You're not even thinking of how you feel every day. We literally just bypass how we feel because we want to get this body. I've had 40 women be like, tell me where I can get this Anavar. I'm at my wit's end. No. You have to, and I'm lucky I didn't have a hormonal imbalance when I first started taking Anavar. I'm sure it's what kicked it off. I don't know. But at the time I felt great. My energy was great. Everything was great. My body was great. So I just added in the Anavar because why the fuck not? But now, if I were to add in Anavar now, it would cause me all sorts of other problems. Probably long-term liver damage, probably long-term kidney damage. For those of you asking comments in my TikTok of like, well, if you said it was so little side effects, why are you saying not to do it? Just because there's little to no side effects while you're taking it doesn't mean they're not actually happening or taking place as you're taking it. You see what I'm saying? Just because I didn't experience like active side effects, like black hairs on my face or like my vagina getting bigger. I didn't have any of that stuff. Didn't mean that there weren't things going on. I did actually have to have an ultrasound done on my kidneys when I was doing steroids. And I remember being fucking terrified. I came home and told Josh, I was like, what if my kidneys are failing? And he was like, Caroline, I'm like, what if they are? I just had to have an ultrasound done on my kidneys because my kidneys aren't working properly. Like, hello. That was my first sign of like, why am I doing this? It can cause long-term liver and kidney problems. Everything is flushed through your liver and kidneys. So if you're running a drug in your body, it's going to affect you in some way, shape, or form. It's not good to do long-term. I don't recommend anyone do it, by the way. That's my disclaimer. Don't do it. It's not worth it. If I were to add it in now, I would have a whole slew of other problems in my life. I don't even know what would happen. I don't know if it would like fuck my mental game up. I don't know if it would fuck my energy. I don't know. But if you are someone who has an autoimmune disorder or you have like a hormonal imbalance, why on earth would you think that you're in the same category as someone who doesn't have something like that? And I say that in a way of like the most supportive way possible. Here you are over here. You have something that's underlying, but you maybe don't know it. Whether it's Hashimoto's or a testosterone being in the dirt, you're over here, right? And you have someone over here who maybe their hormones are fine. They don't have an imbalance. They have no autoimmune disorder whatsoever. You see this person, okay, I want to lose weight. So I know that being in a calorie deficit means I'm going to lose weight, right? So they enter into this calorie deficit and they start dropping weight immediately. They're working out. They just start making progress. You emulate that because you know you've heard so many people, including myself, a calorie deficit. All the diets have in common is they all put you in a calorie deficit. That's the only way to lose weight. You eat less than you burn. That is science. That's it. But there's a catalyst to this. Not if you have an autoimmune disorder. If you have an autoimmune disorder, it's like having a car with a flat tire. Unfortunately, you're already operating back here. You're kind of trying to just catch up. Your body needs more. Your immune system works overtime if you're struggling with something like that. So this person can be fine to be in a calorie deficit. They're going to keep plugging away. They're going to make all this progress. You're going to get so fucking pissed over here doing the same thing. Well, why? I don't get it. Why is that not working? So instead of turning to drugs or something else because you just need to lose that weight, stop. Do the opposite of probably what you're being told. I had a client who had a medical doctor. She has Hashimoto's and she's insulin resistant, which is a double whammy. It's pretty hard, but I've dealt with both before. And she told me that her doctor told her to eat, I think it was like 1100 calories a day. And I was like, why? What was the reasoning? Because I'm insulin resistant. I can only have like, they said I can only eat like 20 carbs a day. And I was like, so in theory, I can understand a doctor looking at someone who's insulin resistant and having, I don't feel like doctors really recognize autoimmune, so I'm not gonna even include the Hashimoto's, but someone who is proven to be insulin resistant, which means they have a really hard time losing weight. Insulin is like the fucking end all be all factor of whether or not you can lose weight or not. So I see like, oh, well, they're insulin resistant, so cut the carbs, because carbs cause the spikes in insulin. Let's get that down, no carbs, low calories. Deficit, you'll lose weight. No. It doesn't work like that with someone who has an autoimmune disorder. If you're already running on fumes, why would you not put extra gas in the tank and take extra care of that car? You think it's going to run faster pushing it harder? No, it's going to shut down more and more and more as you continue to move forward. That's what it's like having an autoimmune disorder. That is why people with those should not be doing HIIT cardio, because you are taxing the fuck out of your central nervous system where it's already working overtime. So then you add in like a HIIT workout thinking, well, God, I'm going to burn more if I just work harder. When in all reality, the opposite happens. Then it pushes you like 4 days back. I've been there with my breast implant illness. Believe me when I tell you, I tried to force myself to the gym and it did not work. I could force myself and probably put in like 20 minutes of hard effort and then I would just be fucking exhausted. And it would take me sometimes days till I could even think about going to the gym again. That's how tired I was. My body was playing catch up. So same thing with the food. Anyone who has an autoimmune disorder, you need to eat minimum at maintenance, if not in a surplus, yes, to lose weight. And I say that. You may not notice the weight loss immediately, but you need to get your body to where you're basically nurturing it and telling it, okay, look, I know you're really fighting hard right now because whether it's from Hashimoto's or Lyme disease or lupus, anything, I'm going to feed you enough to where you won't need to be scrambling for energy throughout the day. So putting it in a deficit is doing no fucking good. You're literally fighting a losing battle. So it blows my mind that a medical doctor would tell someone who's insulin resistant and has Hashimoto's to eat 1,100 calories a day when she was burning 2,300. That was her regular burn. That's a high burn, by the way. She was burning 2,300 calories a day. So if that's what her body is just burning, why would you eat half of that? You're not even eating enough just to function. That can't be good, right? I mean, the math is not mathing. So I was like, no, we're starting you at a minimum of like 2,100 calories. I'd like you to bump up even higher. She didn't want to start super high and I didn't want to bump her from 1,100 to 3,000 because that's crazy. So I was like, all right, we'll meet in the middle. We'll start at 2,100. She has already lost weight. She already has noticed her energy has increased and her mental health is improving. What do you know about that? Like, it's just, you're not playing the same game. So for those of you watching who may have an autoimmune disorder, or maybe you're watching this and you're like, oh my God, maybe I do have an autoimmune disorder. Maybe to look into this. You're not playing the same game as other people. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to know that you cannot use the same rule book. It won't work. And that's just a fact. You can try it all day long. Ignore what I'm saying and try it. You'll figure it out. It won't work. I fought for years. I was like, nope, just because I have breast implant illness, that is not going to stop me. And I fucking fought tooth and nail to try to live the way that I did before I had it. And I can't. That's just a fact. It's the way it is. I now lift weights because I fully enjoy it. And I'm able to now. It doesn't tax me anymore. But I don't lift the way that I used to lift. I don't do 4 main lifts and then do a shitload of fucking other exercises. I do 1 main lift and a bunch of small accessory work that does not tax my body. I do 1 main taxing movement and that is fucking it. I used to do like 3 of those. I would literally do like 6 sets of deadlifts. Then I would hip thrust. Then I would squat. Then I would do weighted fucking lunges. I can't do that shit anymore. My body, I could, but I would be exhausted. I now can get the same. I can get the same motherfucking result doing 20%. Do you know why? Because I'm working smarter, not fucking harder. Stop working harder when you could just work smarter. Work with what you have. If you have an autoimmune disorder, you do not need to be in a calorie deficit. You need to be eating at minimum maintenance or above. And workouts, quit doing HIIT cardio. Don't do excessive heavy lift after lift after lift after lift. Do low impact. Depending on how severe your autoimmune disorder is, like if it's severe, I would literally look into like yoga or walking or stretching or like very low impact, like treadmill, walking, stuff like that. That's what I would suggest. If you have an autoimmune disorder that's not really like just like a terrible one, you could be weightlifting, I would say. Like, just listen to your body. That's my best advice, is listen to your body. Notice what happens after you do a certain type of a workout. And I just, maybe you should look at my notes. I think I said less is more when it comes to having an autoimmune. Less is more. I promise you'll make more progress doing less. I promise. I promise. I said mental health side effects of a hormonal imbalance. We're too busy working on our physical body because of the fucking patriarchy that we just put more and more stress on losing weight and getting in shape that we ignore our mental health. And then we struggle even more because we're ignoring our mental health. So you guys, I truly believe that like the way our system is set up, it's meant to put women at a disadvantage. That's the way it feels. And I think that we are moving towards, I mean, I think we've been dismantling it for a while and we're still fighting to dismantle a lot of shit. And I like now that I have a voice in this and I like that I have this platform to spread awareness about, I'll say it, the mistreatment of women when it comes to healthcare. And we are kind of tossed to the side to like deal with it on our own, whether it's sending you home from the hospital with your baby and, you know, no pain meds, no advice, no nothing, no, hey, by the way, you may start feeling suicidal. That's normal. I think even if someone said that, it would help. No one said that. No one talks about it. And it's so weird to me because we all experience it. I think most women experience some form of postpartum depression, whether it's severe or not severe. We all go through changes. Our body is changing hormonally. After a surgery and after childbirth, our hormones change, which is what causes all of the shit, all of the symptoms that come along with postpartum. So like, why aren't we talking about this? At the very least, like, okay, great. You don't want to fucking support us. Can you at least tell me what to expect? At the very fucking minimum, can you give us the respect to just be like, hey, you might feel suicidal. That's normal. I think if someone just said that, it would help because no one says anything. So then when you feel that way, you don't know that that's not normal. You don't know that that's normal. You think that's not normal. And when you think about something not being normal, that's when you can spiral, especially if you have OCD. I'm sure a lot of people have OCD. They don't even know they have OCD. I just want to continue spreading awareness about obsessive compulsive disorder. I think I could probably write a dissertation and teach a fucking class on OCD. ADHD, again, like I know I'm on the spectrum for autism. I fucking know it. I'm 100% certain. No one can tell me otherwise. I'm thinking of taking the test with my psychiatrist just for shits and giggles, just to get the diagnosis. I know that there's not a medication really. There are meds. I'm not willing to take any of the meds for it. I just want to know. And I already know. But I'm thinking just for my own sanity, I might just take it and just like, just to know, because I think knowing, like it's the not knowing that's the worst. Just knowing that like thoughts are normal, knowing that feeling so depressed, you don't want to be here anymore. I think that a lot of us can say these days, that's fucking normal. And when you normalize it, it lightens the load. Like it just makes it not as big of a scary thing anymore. I used to never even I would never think of uttering the notion that I experienced a suicidal thought. And this was back in 2000, it was before everything went to shit. It was like 2018. And it was in the middle of my breast implant illness. It was right when it started. I just said in the middle and right when it started. It was right when everything kind of fired up and I started to experience these thoughts and I became very afraid. I was like, oh my God, why am I thinking that? Why am I thinking that? I just ignored it. I shoved it down. Didn't go away. It was still there. And then it got worse and worse and worse. And it got so loud that I couldn't ignore it. And that's when I started to go crazy because I still wouldn't even say it out loud to anyone, not even Josh. And I think I said it one night because I was just like, it felt like a psychotic break. I had like one night where I was just like, I had had some body work done and it like threw me into like I couldn't stop crying. It was very weird. And I was in a moment of like utter desperation and I said it. And I remember him being like, why'd you tell me that? Like now I'm worried if you're going to be in like the next room, like not with me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. But like, why am I thinking it? Like, why is it even a thought in my head? He's like, well, I don't know. And that was kind of the beginning. And then it got really bad. And when we moved here into the mobile home, it switched, kind of shifted from I became uber fixated on thoughts happening, bad things happening of like my family members. And that was when, like, I don't know, it was really weird. It's been so long since I was living that life of just like literal fear every day, every single day. I don't have that anymore. I mean, obviously I have fear every day now because of the world that we live in, and there's a mass shooting in a school every other day, but you know, that's just a normal fear. I think we've normalized a fear that our kids are going to get shot at school. How fucking crazy is that? Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. If you guys have questions, please, I am always here. It literally anything like chronic UTIs, breast implant illness, well-versed in both of those. Autoimmune disorders. I would love to talk more if you guys think you may have one, if you, or even if you're just like, hey, these are my symptoms. What do you think it could be? And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing anyone. God, I feel like I have to say that even though that's so dumb these days, like I'm not a medical professional and I'm not giving medical advice in this podcast. I'm literally talking about my own experiences, sharing what I went through in hopes that I can help more of you. I already know that there's many that together we have been able to help each other. And I just want to continue doing that. So, and offer support. Oh my God, one last thing before I go. And I just saw it on my notes. I wrote, makes me wonder about my mom and older women when it comes to like menopause and aging. I feel like the boomers truly did not, they weren't talking about any of this stuff. There wasn't talk about like, I don't even think they tested hormones and shit back in, like they just accepted shit. Like our moms just accepted that like, well, when you get old, you feel like shit. Yeah, once I hit 40, everything's downhill from there. My mom, literally, if my mom watches this, like, I don't even care. She came over here the other night and she was complaining to me months ago about like not being able to lose weight. And I've already customized my mom's macros for free for her multiple times. She won't do it. She goes on a liquid diet because she believes in her heart that that's the only way she can lose weight. She literally will sit here and say like, if I eat anything, I gain weight. And I'm like, and then you have my dad like echoing her like, yeah, it's true. She can't eat. She eats, she gains weight. She doesn't eat. That's the only way she can lose weight. I'm like, oh, okay, you're just not gonna eat the rest of your life. Are you fucking kidding me? So she went on a liquid diet. I don't even know that she lost weight. I think she lost weight initially, which was probably fucking water weight. And mom, if you're watching this, like this is how fucking frustrated I am with you about this. She'll sit here and complain and complain and complain and complain to me she knows this is what I do for a living. So it's kind of actually like, the audacity. I'm like, are you going to actually listen? But that age group, and I'm not generalizing. I have a lot of, I don't hate the word boomer, but like I have a lot of older women as clients, and I consider some of them like family. Like I love them. They're doing so amazing. And mom, this is nothing against you, but like, listen, like I know what I'm talking about. So I told her months ago, I said, you need to get your hormones checked. Well, I don't need to do that. I've never done that before. I'm like, stop. If you want my advice and I'm trying to help you, which you're bitching to me, so I think that you want the help, go get your hormones checked. Literally told her, do not go to your doctor. Do not go to your OB. Go to Shannon. What do you think she did? She went to her OB. I hadn't talked to her in a while. So she came over the other day to drop the kids off. And she was like, she was bitching again about her weight. And I was like, she said, I saw your website's going to be free. And can I get my macros on there? I'm like, what? Like I've already told you what your macros need to be. We've done this. Are we doing this again? And she was like, well, I don't understand. Like if I eat anything, Caroline, I gain weight. That's just me. I'm like, you're not a medical anomaly, mom. I work with all sorts of people, all ages. You're not different. There's something going on. And I guarantee you, I said, did you get your hormones checked? Like you told me you texted Shannon. She goes, well, I did. I went to my OB. And I was like, oh, the one thing I told you not to do. She goes, they were fine. My levels were fine. I was like, I fucking guarantee you, I would put $100,000 on it that your levels are not fine. But you ignored my advice and went to your OB, who probably looked at a stock piece of paper that says a stock range for all women being, oh, if you're a 32 on testosterone, you're good. No, no. So now I'm just done. Like I've already mentally checked out when she told me she went to her OB. I was like, okay, I'm like, you don't want my help. I'm not going to put my energy into it because you don't want my help. So she was like, I just can't do it. It's like, she lives in this belief that like, she can't lose weight. I'm like, well now, like it's beyond you actually probably having a hormonal imbalance, which you probably do. There may be something. I mean, she is diabetic. She refuses to give up her Dr. Pepper. So like there's that. I'm like, you're not doing anything to change it. So you either don't get to complain about it anymore and you just like live your life and you accept your weight the way that you are. Or if you really want to change it, that's fine to complain, but you have to do something that's going to actually change it. And I've told you what that is and you won't do it. So I have to just assume that you don't want help. Like that's the conclusion that I have to make. And like, because you're my family, like I care about anyone who wants to work with me, but like, it's different when like, it's like, I know what to do to help you and I've told you and you won't do it. So how frustrating do you think that is for me? And to be honest, like, it's kind of a slap in the face. Like I do this for a living. I get paid to help people do this. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. So for you to like flat out ignore my advice and go see your OB, which I literally said, don't go to your OB or primary. And then for her to do that, I'm just like, okay, you don't want help. And it's very irritating because like she's convinced herself. And so, like I said, beyond there actually being something wrong, maybe there's nothing wrong. I'm like, you believe that you can't lose weight. Like you've said it 100 times in 5 breaths. You've said, I can't lose weight if I eat food. So you believe that, like that's your truth now. So maybe you won't lose weight until you start believing that you actually can. I don't know. But it's like stuff like that. I feel like our parents' generation, most of them have just accepted the fact that when you get older, you fucking feel like dog shit. And I think it's interesting. I'm interested to see how us millennials go through menopause because we now know a lot of us are getting our hormones tested. We know that that plays a role in our mental health and physical health. Why would we not watch those levels like a hawk? Why would we not make sure our test is where it needs to be? I guarantee you that we are not going to suffer as bad with menopause as our moms did. Because our moms just went through it and we're like, oh, this is what it is. It sucks. I have hot flashes at night. I wake up in like a pool of water because I'm sweating. Like they've just accepted aging and feeling like dog shit without going, maybe I should look at where my hormones are at. Maybe I should look at this other stuff. And a lot of it is they just didn't have that knowledge. I don't want to say knowledge, but like this wasn't talked about back then. A lot of the stuff I'm talking about these days was not talked about when I was even growing up. So I just want to continue educating. Mom, I'm sorry if I went a little hard on you. She probably won't even watch this. Hopefully she won't make it this far. Anyway, but mom, if you are watching, you should call my hormone specialist lady that I already gave you the information for and go that route. Love you. Okay, that's it. I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Man, I feel so mentally different from last week. Maybe I just have like borderline personality disorder. Do you love how I just try to like diagnose myself with all this different shit? No, but seriously, I feel mentally like a different person than I did last week. And I'm thinking it's the testosterone. It has to be. It has to be. Anyway, all right. Questions. I want them. Advice. I want them. Input. I want it. Anything you guys want to hear me talk about more, please comment, DM me, text me, email me, whatever. I want to hear it. All right. That's it. I will see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you for checking out the CWC podcast. If you want to learn more about our community, make sure to check out the show notes.